your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Friday to you. It's Friday, June the 7th. I have my man, Mark Narducci, in the building. What's up, Mark?
How you doing, Keith?
I'm doing well, brother. I'm doing well. So, look, y'all, today we're going to talk about three important subjects. Actually, all the subjects we talk about are important, right?
Absolutely.
So, now, you know, the Sixers hired a new shooting coach by the name of Cam Hodges. He's going to come in and, you know, he's not a shooting coach per se. They're going to call him, he's going to be a part of the player development staff. You know, also the Sixers got rid of a well-respected shooting coach in John Townsend. They actually didn't renew his contract. They're kind of reshuffling things, so to speak, so they don't have space for him. So he's gone. So we're going to talk about that in the first segment and how it affects Ben Simmons and about Ben Simmons' shot and what's holding him back. And then in the second segment, we're going to start getting into a little bit of the pre-draft workouts. On Thursday, the Sixers hosted Dylan Windler, and they also entertained Shiz Alston. And then in the third segment, we're going to talk about the type of player they're bringing in for these workouts. Because, you know, some of these guys, you know, for every Dylan Windler and Cameron Edwards, you know, there are other guys who you're looking at and you're saying, they're not going to draft this guy. You know, maybe not even in, you know, they're not even going to pick him up in the second round. But, you know, so we're going to talk about that. But Mark, get this thing off. So they hired Cam Hodges. He's a respected coach in San Antonio. That's part of, you know, the Brett Brown coaching tree, so to speak, with San Antonio. He started out there. Well, he's part of that coaching tree, and he's very familiar. Seems like he, you know, he may get a coach, Avery Johnson, from there. You know, the thing about it is the Sixers are saying that it's not about Ben Simmons. It's about a lot of other people, too. But they only have four people on staff right now. I mean, and not on staff, but, you know, under contract. You know, I'm hearing people saying that this guy is going to work with Ben. You know, but Ben's not going to be the only guy, only one. And you alluded to something earlier that no matter who they bring in, if Ben Simmons isn't committed to taking jumpers and working on his game, it doesn't matter, because this guy, Cam Hodges, is, you know, has some hype. But John Townsend is one of the most respected shooting coaches in the NBA.
Yeah, Keith, I think, you know, a lot of people say, well, Ben Simmons, if he doesn't work on his shooting in the summer, lazy, blah, blah. I have no doubt that Ben Simmons worked very hard last summer at his shooting. I have no doubt he's going to work very hard this summer at his shooting. But for some reason, if he doesn't have the mindset and he isn't afraid to fail and try these shots in scrimmages with his teammates, in preseason games, and then, of course, in regular season games, they could bring in Jerry West and it's not going to matter. This is all up to Ben Simmons, whether he wants to take the next step. And I think Ben is sensitive to the criticism about his shooting, Keith. But I think that he has to be willing to fail to be able to succeed in the long run.
You know what? I get you. I agree with you. But I don't think Ben worked hard last summer. I don't.
Okay.
I don't. I mean, I think that everybody thought he worked hard, but I don't think he did. You know, it's one of those things, you know, Ben Simmons to me is a guy who things, and we talked about this before, but things came easy to him on every level. You know, you look at Ben Simmons, and I'm sorry if I seem repetitive, but if Ben Simmons was a football player, he would be in the NFL. If Ben Simmons could hit a curveball, he would be in the major leagues. If Ben Simmons wanted to run track, he would be a great quarter modeler. You know, he's just that type of athlete. And I don't think he worked hard. You know, I think that, you know, that's the thing that really separates Ben from other athletes is that he never had to work hard. Think about it. When he was growing up in Australia, he was killing. He had to. You know what I mean? He had to be. He comes to the United States. He goes to Mount Verde Academy. He's killing them, right? And I don't know if it's an academy at the end, but he goes to Mount Verde. So then he comes to LSU, the same thing. You know, he's the rookie of the year. I mean, you know, the playoffs is when people start guarding him differently, and then that's when he starts getting exposed. You know, they take the ball out of his hands. But I honestly believe that it was something he worked hard on. Because if he worked hard on it, he would have the confidence to go out there and do it, you would think. Or he can get to certain spots. I just think that, you know, in this stage of his career, it's one of those things where it's hitting him. Because for the first time, he's realizing, yo, I can't always get to the rim. Or, whoa, guys are starting to back up off me. You know, so in regards to, I get it, he has to have the confidence, but believe me, dude, I don't believe that he worked hard last night.
Okay, well, whether he did or not, if he doesn't change his outlook and how he plays this game, as you mentioned, Keith, he is so talented that he can be an all-star, which he was this year, without even knowing how to shoot. If he ever learned how to shoot, he could be an all-timer. And I think that the lack of success on an extended level that he's had in his first 2 years of playoff basketball, if that doesn't nudge him on to try to get to another level, then nothing will. Because he can keep being the player he is and be effective. But he has to say to himself and have more pride in the fact he couldn't have liked the fact that they took the ball out of his hand so much and gave it to Jimmy Butler. I mean, if you have that kind of pride and everything, he probably had to hate that.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why.
And if that doesn't make him change, if that doesn't make him do what he has to do, but the other thing is, he's got to still be able to do it a lot in practice. And again, we don't get to see a lot of practice, but when we do, you're not seeing a lot of jumpers from him. And the fact is, he's got to be able to be afraid to fail. And I think he's very, very sensitive to criticism, and I think that that's a lot part of it.
It's a lot. I mean, you know, there are times, and here's something else, I'm being repetitive again. Like, you know, there are times when you go to, like, his pregame workouts and you see him hitting corner threes or doing some things, and you say to yourself, like, why aren't you doing this in the game? Well, what if I think he's one of those guys who, because he doesn't have the repetition and he's not, you know, working hard, that, you know, it's one of those things where he's fearful, like you said, of that the one shot that he attempts in the game is going to be an air ball. It's going to go, off the side of his arm. Sorry, y'all. Off the side of his arm or whatever, or his hands. And I think that's it. You know, I mean, I honestly do. That's the problem. You know, and the thing is, it's kind of like there was a time in his rookie year that he was playing, and you would go to practice and you would see him working with the shooting coach, John Townsend, and you would see him making shots. And you would see him, and you're saying, okay, he's improving. And then he would post videos on it on social media. And you're saying, wow. Like, there's one video out there where people made a parody of it, made jokes and fun, where he's going around the three-point line and he's draining threes. Well, that was 2 years ago with him working with the shooting coach. But he didn't want to work with him anymore for whatever reason. You know, he wanted to work with his brother, and I get it. There's a familiar there. He's familiar with his brother. I get that. But he was at a point where he was starting to improve. And then he won on that slide. Now, again, they have this new guy. They did away with Townsend's position. You know, he'll probably get a job soon. But now they bring in this new guy. He's from the Spurs. So we're going to see what's going to happen. Now, also, one thing I will say is that Ben is in L.A. as we speak. He's working with a shooting coach. Well, this guy is a trainer, so he does everything. His name is Chris Johnson. You know, from what I hear, he's worked out with LeBron. He works out with a lot of, you know, big-time players. And Ben is working out with him. So if you look at it, he'll have the base with him now, and then he'll come out here and he'll work with the other guys. Now, Chris is going to work with everyone. He probably is not going to just work with Ben. We said that because my question is, if he was going to literally work with Ben solo, he would probably be on his way to California now and observing these workouts and helping them out now, you know? So that, you know, that's just my thing.
I just think, Keith, and I wonder if too many people are going to be in the Ben's head about what to do. And I think that it's ultimately up to Ben. Up to Ben to decide that this is the most important thing for me to become a better player. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it in games. I don't care what people say about in social media. I don't care what people say in the press. I do think, you know, he's got to fail first before he succeeds. And he's been afraid to fail.
Great point. Great ending of the segment. Great ending. Look, y'all, when we get back after this commercial break, we're going to talk about Dylan Windler and Shiz Austin. And now, Mark knows a lot. Well, he knows a lot about Shiz. And he covered a game where Dylan only had 5 points against the Temple Owls. So we're going to, you know, pick Mark's brain about what information about both of these guys. And we get right back. All right, Mark. So what can you tell me about Dylan when you saw him?
Right. And the reason we're talking about him is he came in on Thursday with the Sixers for workout. His name has been linked to the lower half of the first round of the draft. He's a 6'7", they list him at 6'8". Keith, he can really shoot. Now, against Temple, he had 5 points in the NCAA playing game that Belmont still won by 11. Temple's Nate Pierre-Louis did a tremendous job on him, took him out of the game, but the credit to the team, they had other people to do it. But his next game in the NCAA tournament, he had 35 in a 2-point loss against Maryland. What he can do is he can shoot off the dribble. He can shoot off picks. He was saying after Thursday's workout, you know, he doesn't think he's just a one-trick pony, that he can do other things. He can rebound and things like that. But in the NBA, when you have a guy who's 6'8", who can stretch the defense, it's an intriguing skill. And that's why I think Dylan Windler, I'm not saying he's going to be an NBA star, but there's certainly going to be a place for him in the NBA.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be a place for him. You know, here's a guy who gained 12 pounds. He gained 12 pounds since the end of the season last year. He's a guy who, like you said, he's 6'8". He can shoot the ball. But, you know, he knows that he has some weaknesses. I mean, you look at it, let's talk about his strengths before we get to his weaknesses. So, you know, he's the main reason that Belmont went 26-5, you know, this past season. He averaged 21.3 points, 10.7 rebounds, and 1.4 steals as a senior, right? He made 42.9% of his three-pointers.
That's the key stat.
You know, that's the key stat. But the thing is, when you look at it, he was 6'8", he's 201 pounds, and he gained 12 pounds. You know, so that you're like saying to yourself, whoa, this guy was, you know, super thin. He needs to get stronger.
Yeah.
And although he had 1.4 steals, he needs to improve his defense. Oh,
no question. Keith, what I like about him, though, you look at his numbers. When he's a freshman, he averaged 4.3 points. And you love guys that start that low. First of all, a lot of guys, if they average 4.3, they're looking to transfer because they want all the shots and all that. He averaged 4.3, and he stayed with it, and he progressively got better. That is something that you like in a player when you're looking at him.
Yeah, exactly right. And but the thing is, I like his mindset. Like, he just seems like a... Like, I don't know, sometimes guys have a presence when they come over. He was shaking people's hand. And some people, you say, okay, this is a fraud. Nah, he seemed legit. He seemed really legit. And then something that you said in the beginning of this segment, you know, he's a guy that could be there for the Sixers. And, you know, they lost Landry Shamet. You know, they lost him to the Clippers. They need a shooter. And this guy, you know, Landry Shamet, let's face it, defense, he struggled. Mm-hmm. I mean, he couldn't guard me. Right. But he couldn't. He can't guard me. Yeah, Landry, I could get 30 on you, bro. It's like, nah, maybe not. Maybe 10. It's like, maybe off from the foul line. It's like, nah. So, you know, the thing is, if the Sixers need to get someone who they just can bring in and get shots, and when you have Ben Simmons with the ball, or Jimmy Butler in certain times, situations, he could be a guy who spot up from the corner three and just bury buckets. And I think he can help him in that way.
He's got a little bit of toughness to him. You know, he averaged 10.8 rebounds, too. So he went after it. And that, he's not just a guy that stands away from the basket and shoots. I think he's an intriguing prospect. And I think the one skill that most players don't have coming into the NBA is being able to shoot. So I think when you have a skill set like that, that's why he's being talked about as a you know, late first rounder.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about Shiz? What can you tell me about Shiz?
Well, people will say he was just brought in because he's a local guy, played for Temple and everything. But I'll tell you, he's one of the great character people you'll ever know. He had a tremendous senior year. I remember one game he scored 13 straight points. He had these... in the game, he had these segments where he would just carry the team. He averaged, you know, over 19 a game. He's a great free throw shooter. He was over 90%. Better at 3-point, and I think he shoots the three off the dribble better than he does as a standstill player, which is a difficult thing. But the key is going to be on the other end of the court for him. And, you know, he can be a combo guard. As Vince Rosman, the senior personnel director for the Sixers, was saying, but the key is going to be guarding people, and that's how he's going to have to really, really improve. He can improve his shooting a little bit, but he's got a great basketball IQ. He's very intelligent. He's got a tremendous hunger. As I said, he can be a great foul shooter. You put him in late in the games. I think he's going to be a guy that... He was telling me afterwards that the best case scenario he had heard was late second, but he also understands he could be a free agent, but he's willing to do that. He wants to get to an NBA camp, show what he can do. I think Shiz has a chance to get in the NBA. It may not be this year. He might have to go the G League route for a while, but I think with his persistence and everything like that, he'll have a chance to appear in the league.
Who has he did he tell you all the teams he worked out for thus far?
Yes, he worked out for Charlotte, Washington, and the interesting thing, Keith, he worked out for Indiana the night before he went to the Sixers. He got in really late and said he had to come in for an 8 a.m. workout with the Sixers. So those four, but he also said, and he didn't have it, the list with him, But he also said he has a number of ones coming up. And he said he expects to keep doing these right up until maybe the day before the draft.
Man, I hope he doesn't wear himself out, you know?
Yeah, but he's young. He can do it. And he understands that he needs the exposure. And every team that looks at him, it's a big deal. It's a big audition for him. And I'll tell you what, when the teams talk to him, he'll blow them all. It'll be tremendous. It'll be like a great job interview because of what a character individual he is. And the other thing is he got his degree in 4 years at Temple. So that shows some real persistence and dedication. You know how tough that is when you're playing a basketball schedule that way.
Yeah, you said 4 years? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, it's good. His father was a great player too.
LeVan Austin, yeah. He started in New Orleans and then played his last couple of years at Temple.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, you know, he's a junior, but it's always like shiz, and I was always like, okay, so who's his father? Then some people told me, and I was like, okay, I remember him.
Well, when you ever see my articles, I never write Shiz Austin Jr.
Because
his dad's name's not Shiz.
Yeah, but Shiz is a nickname, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right,
that's what I'm saying.
Because when he enrolled at Temple, he was known as LeVan Austin Jr.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh.
He changed to Shiz a couple years
ago. Because I was always saying, you know, people were like, huh? I never heard of a Shiz Austin who played for Temple.
I'll tell you though, anybody that's come in contact with him is rooting for him just because of just what a quality character person he is.
Yeah, you always speak very highly of him. I mean, and like you could tell today, I mean, there's certain guys who have a presence about themselves. And he really had one. He really had a presence about himself. But right after this commercial break, we'll get into the third. Right after this commercial break, we'll get into the third segment. All right, Mark, can you just start off the third segment? Just talk about, you know, you did a story, and, you know, we look at the Sixers roster. They got a couple late guys, you know, late first-round picks, a few second-rounders. But for the most part, a lot of dudes who are going to be in the G League and guys who aren't going to get drafted.
Yeah, you mean for the pre-draft workouts. The problem the Sixers have at 24 is the fact that a lot of the players think that they're going to go higher than that, so they don't want to go to a team like the Sixers and kind of be pegged as a later first round pick. So it's very hard to get the elite prospects coming in. They knew that coming in. And again, Vince Rosman talked about, they interviewed all these guys at the NBA Combine. They have everything. And he also said at these workouts, Keith, that they don't learn a whole lot basketball-wise from these pre-draft workouts. He said the most important part of these workouts, the interviews and talking to the kids and looking them in the eye and seeing the kind of the fire that they have. He said, if we learn something from these pre-draft workouts, then we haven't done our job. So they know everything about these players, and they still want to see them play and run and all that. But they really want to talk to them. They really want to get inside of them, see what makes them tick. So they're not going to get, you know, a lot of the top lottery people or even people right below the lottery because, as I said, they don't want to be perceived as going to a team that's picking so late. You know, these guys have pretty big egos too, and their agents, you know, strategically place them in certain places. Now, what you may find late in this process, as guys maybe realize their stock might be dropping, maybe their agents give the Sixers a call and they get a little higher quality of player.
Yeah, maybe. But then a lot of times they don't, you may do that, but sometimes the agents are scared if they do that because then it's like, uh-oh, you know
what I
mean?
Panicking.
They're panicking.
Yeah.
They don't want to come across that way. But yeah, you know, the thing is like, you know, there's always going to be a guy that you didn't work out that, you know, you probably saw him at an agent run workout or you know, you watched them in college, you scouted them, and you're very familiar with them. And if that person is projected to be, let's just say, a middle first round pick, and he fits the Sixers system well, and for whatever reason, you know, he just seems to drop to him. Forget the fact that you didn't work him out. You're still probably going to go after and get this guy. You know?
Yeah, there's no question about that. And the other thing the Sixers are trying to impress on the agents and the players, and they have some evidence to back it up, we can make trades, they say. And that happened last year. Now, it happened in a reverse for the Sixers, where they traded number 10 for number 16. But they could also trade and move up. So, and that's what they try to use to tell people, you may not want to turn us down. You never know where we'll be picking in this draft.
Now, the last thing I'm going to ask you, and we'll conclude on this one, tomorrow, Saturday, there are going to be two guys from Villanova working out with the Sixers. Eric Paschal and Phil Booth. I mean, your thoughts on those two players?
It's funny. I think Eric Paschal has been all over the place as far as his value. I thought earlier in the year he was considered like a late first, and now I'm seeing where a lot of people think of him as a maybe a mid-second, an early to mid-second. I like his game. He does play close to the basket, but he can stretch it out and shoot. I don't know about his overall foot speed, his quickness, but I think there's going to be a place in the NBA for Eric Paschal. Phil Booth is just a winner, but he doesn't have the measurables that they're looking for. He doesn't, you know, jump out of the building. He doesn't out-athlete you, but he hits big shots. Again, he's a very, very smart player. I kind of align him in the same areas I do Shiz Alston. He may not get drafted, but if he keeps working at it and going through the G League, I think one day maybe he can get to the NBA due to his IQ, due to his work ethic, and due to the fact that he's not afraid and has made plenty of big shots.
Yeah, well, I know there's a lot of people on the main line hoping that he gets drafted. A lot of people in Philly, I mean, hoping that the three of them, you know, get drafted, you know. But look, Mark, I want to thank you for joining, and I want to thank you all for listening, and have a great day, and have a wonderful weekend. Peace.